This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wake up to Golic and Wingo in the morning and drive home with Danger and Battaglia in the Sports Bar. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Sports Bar today brought to you by World Gym Rochester and World Gym Greece, with memberships as low as $1 down and $10 a month. Best location, best price. World Gym Rochester, World Gym Greece. You hear him every morning on our sister station, WGR in Buffalo, along with Howard Simon. Jeremy White, good with his time and joining us. And Jeremy, right out of the gate, first of all, let's just congratulate you on the amazing news. Quadruplets are on the way. Have you invested heavily in any kind of bourbon, any kind of scotch? I mean, this is going to be an unbelievable life adventure for you. Way to go, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife and I found out about 2 months ago, and we were expecting them in about 3-4 months, right around middle of December, hopefully. And, if all goes well, we'll be welcoming four. So we're excited. It comes with a lot of stuff you got to learn along the way. And, life changes have already begun, yeah.
Jeremy, how did you find out? Did your wife know something was up right away? How did the doctor break the news to you? I'm just curious to learn that has to be we hear the news and we're shocked. You hear the news and what happens?
Well, we had reason to believe there might have been more than one. Like, we thought possible two. So when we went to find out, she was pregnant, we thought, all right, there might be two. There was a test that indicated that, like, there could be more than one based on just a test level. And then we went in, and sure enough, there are four. So that it definitely came as a surprise, yeah.
Jeremy, we were having a Bills conversation, shocking, just a few minutes ago, and we were looking at the schedule, and we know that you and Howard have a lot of fun picking the Bills and having Howard pick the Bills and how quickly things change and how quickly your opinions can change. The question we had is, what do you think is more likely, the Bills finish the season 11-5 or the Bills finish the season 5-11?
That's a good one, because 11-5 is lightning in a bottle type season. Teams can have those seasons and still not even be any sort of dominant team. You look at this team's schedule, the losses you would say are lock losses. There aren't as many as there normally are. So 11-5 versus 5-11, I know their over-under is low. It's just with a defense as good as this one, we saw this defense with a really bad offense win six games. Maybe they overachieved in that department because they had 1-point wins here and there, Detroit and Tennessee, and even Jacksonville was kind of a goofy game. So, last year's team won six and they got everything they possibly could out of those six wins. So, 5-11 or 11-5? That's a great question. I'll just say 11-5 for the sake of, that being a lot more fun. If it's 6-10, if it's choose 10 wins or six wins, then I might choose six. If it's, 7-9 or 9-7, that's a coin toss. So, just based on, I don't see five being their final win total. So I think 11 is more likely.
Jeremy, a lot of the optimism from people is based on what they saw in camp. It's what they have seen in the preseason, based on the nice glowing quotes you get every time you're here. How do you reconcile with, there are things we're seeing with progress, things like Allen Beasley, didn't have that last year, things like Ed Oliver. There are reasons for optimism, but then you go back and realize that this is the same franchise that was actually high in Nate Peterman this time last year. So how do you reconcile what is real in the preseason?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I went today and looked at the last 2 years, what they did in their dress rehearsal game, right? The third game is supposed to be the dress rehearsal game. That's the one where, you get a real good look at who your team is. Well, last year, Josh Allen started it, had a real tough time. Nathan Peterman went in and went 16-21 for 200 yards and a touchdown. 2 years ago, when the Bills made the playoffs, they lost their dress rehearsal game to drop to 0-3, a game in which Tyrod Taylor threw completed one pass for 1 yard before Nathan Peterman came in and did well along with T.J. Yates. So Nothing is what you should take from the preseason. You know, you get a chance to see Cole Beasley in a Bills uniform and see the kind of plays he's going to try and work for this offense. I think you can use it as a way to visualize, but other than that, nothing. I made the analogy that it's like being on the driving range. You can hit the sixth iron wonderfully on the range. That's great. It only matters once you get to the first hole.
Jeremy, I tried to take the rosy position, the rosy disposition of Mitch Morse that, you know, hey, him being out all of preseason means that they can really evaluate the flexibility of all of these other pieces on the offensive line and get a good gauge of where they could put them. And you know, him being out might actually be a good – I don't really have that opinion. I don't really believe that. Like, I'm officially a little bit nervous about the guy who, you know, got concussed the second pads went on this summer and what he might look like should he be cleared in time for performance on week one. Where do you stand on Mitch Morse?
I can get to that optimistic standpoint that other guys get a look pretty quickly because he knows the position. You know, you do have to suffer that he doesn't get quite the chemistry with the rest of the guys on the offensive line. But you knew who he was going to be the starter. The worst-case scenario is him getting hurt in the preseason. That kind of already did happen. I think if there's a concern, it's that a concussion can sideline him for quite some time. It's been an issue for him in the past. You know, there aren't that many football players that don't have a concussion history, but some guys respond differently than others. So I'd be nervous about Morse getting more and getting more to keep him off the field. But, I mean, I'm kind of with you. I don't have to work too hard to say I got a chance to see my depth. I mean, if the preseason's for something, it's for seeing how your depth players can react and can learn the offense and can just kind of slot in and fit in. So, you might be talking yourself into it, but it doesn't try that hard. I'm kind of with you.
Jeremy White, WGR, our guest here. The Jets are taking an interesting approach with Le'Veon Bell. They spent all this money. You're not going to even see him in the preseason. Jeremy, where do you fall on that spectrum? Are you more of the preseason does not matter, save everybody health, but you'll hear the cliche will be the dress rehearsal, first half of football for a lot of these teams we'll see coming up Thursday night. Your thoughts on the decision for Adam Gase not to play perhaps their best offensive player here in the preseason?
I support it. I mean, Bell is a little bit of a different case because he didn't play all of last year, but I support that decision. Julio Jones is not playing the entire preseason. The Bills might finish this preseason having not faced a single starting quarterback. Luck didn't play. Newton didn't play. Stafford might not play. And then we get to the Minnesota game where Kirk Cousins probably won't play. So if you're playing against opponents and their starters aren't playing, I think it's a pretty good indication that yours shouldn't be or definitely don't need to be. I make exceptions maybe for rookies or guys that have to prove something. But if I'm the Bills, you know, the starting defense, nobody plays. I don't need it. The Lions aren't playing to win. The Lions aren't scheming. I'm not scheming for the Lions. So I support sitting guys. I mean, Doug Marrone's sitting most of his team in Jacksonville. On and on, you've got guys that just don't need action in the preseason. So whether they're veterans or second-year guys, I would definitely err on I don't need to put miles on these tires for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and if you zoom the lens out a little bit, Jeremy, you kind of see by stars not playing in the preseason what we kind of already know. The players and the coaches know it as well. Like, this is pointless. What are we doing? We already know what this team is going to be. Let's just get to meaningful football.
Right, and the only decisions you're making from preseason are roster spots, what, 46 or 53? So have a 60-man competition for the final seven spots. You know, we don't need to pretend that the 30 guys or the 40 guys, 45 that you know are going to be on the team are also in a competition. I mean, football likes to pretend that everything's about a competition, but we know that's not totally true. If you're drafted in the third round as a running back, you're going to make the team. If there's an undrafted or a rugby player who shows up and electrifies people, like Christian Wade's a good story. There's no chance he could supplant Devin Singletary on the depth chart. None at all, because the Bills picked Singletary, and for Christian Wade, it was just an international rugby program giving the Bills a player that they can stash on their practice squad. So, you know, it is about competition, but it's about the bottom half. That's not even bottom half, bottom five players. So let them fight it out. Pick your five players, and, the 48 players you know are going to be on the team, just keep them healthy.
Jeremy White, WGR, our guest here. If the Bills, if this ends up being 5-11 or worse for the Buffalo Bills, and Danger and I were having this debate earlier in the week, because what do? We assess blame, whether it's a loss, whether it's an entire season. Who would take the fall here, or would take the blame, I should say? Would it be Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen? How would that all play out?
No one. No one is in danger, except I would say the cliche answer is offensive and defensive coordinators,
yeah.
because those guys get fired all the time. You know, if you need someone to go into the volcano as a sacrifice, you choose your OC or your DC. You know, go back to last year, 2 weeks into the season, the Bills' defense is really getting ripped apart. Sean McDermott says he's going to take over the play calls or he's going to kind of get more involved. They right the ship, and then that little drama kind of subsided. If the defense fell apart, my guess is that Leslie Frazier would go. If the offense had a second straight season of really struggling and Allen doesn't take any steps forward, you know, they're not going to blame Allen. They're going to pin that on Brian Daboll because that's the job you get. You know, if you have an offense that isn't good for 2 years, you're gone before a lot of your players are. So I'd say those are the two odds-on favorites. They already did blame the line coach, right? They blamed the quarterback coach.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the quarterback room. It'll be everything but McDermott or Bean or Allen for that matter. I think the organization is completely committed and ready to give these guys as much time as they might need.
So, Jeremy, you know, there's a lot of pieces that have come out over the last 24 to 48 hours, whether it was Palazzolo's piece on Pro Football Focus that had Allen as the 32nd ranked starting quarterback in the league, or the ESPN piece yesterday that gave Sean McDermott the best odds of being fired if the team were to go 4-12. Do you think that there's some truthiness to these stories, or do you think that this is just a simple fact that, hey, these publishers, these websites, they know Bills Mafia and the fan base, they're defensive, and they will go after and click on these stories and share these stories and interact with these stories. Which of the two do you think it is?
I do think that attention is definitely part of it. On the McDermott thing, I think they're just being out of touch. I there's just no way that he should be the odds-on favorite to be fired if they have a bad season. I think he is one of the safest coaches in the entire NFL. I think the organization follows his lead. It's almost his organization on some level. You know, he doesn't own the team, but it's his team. And on, you know, on the other side of it about Josh Allen, he didn't do a ton to prove to anybody he was a really good quarterback. He still could run, but, you know, he threw for 10 touchdowns and 12 picks, and, you know, he got a little bit of stat padding against Miami. So I think it's just a case of, you know, he's a young guy. He's got a lot to prove. And he had his doubters, and he did a nice job extending plays and making plays with his feet. But if teams decide to take that away, which my guess is this year they will, I think what you'll see this year, you won't see any more spies. Spying doesn't work. Even Josh Allen will beat any spy you put out there. What they'll do is they'll do what they used to do to Tyrod, which is they'll rush the passer and they'll play contain. Just keep him in the pocket, make him be a quarterback. I guarantee we hear that phrase this season. And then it comes down to, you know, can he, with his legs, still escape, or can he make plays with his arm that put the Bills where they hope he can take them? Because I am fully ready for make him be a quarterback to be a phrase we hear this year.
Jeremy White, WGR guest. If I can daydream for a second here, Jeremy, because we all die at some point and careers go at some point. What is the world going to look like when the New England Patriots start losing games? One of these years will be in October, be like, oh my gosh, this division really is up for grabs. Are we getting close or no?
I would hope so. I would really hope so. One thing that would help is if Jimmy Garoppolo completely flames out, right? You know, like Garoppolo had a couple of nice games, and there's always been this conversation that Belichick will just find the next guy and he'll be good. Right now, Jared Stidham, people are drinking the Kool-Aid on Jared Stidham. So if Garoppolo flames out, you can add him to the pile of quarterbacks that New England has had that haven't panned out.
Yeah.
So while they did draft Brady, you know, 20 years ago, they haven't really hit on anybody since, and they've taken a lot of quarterbacks. They've taken more than the Bills have in that stretch. So, you know, once Brady goes, the quarterback they have, no matter how good he is not Brady, and that's a different world.
Jeremy, before we let you go, I wanted to get your take on the Sabres really quick. We had Randy Sexton on with us yesterday, and we didn't expect him to answer the question, but we kind of threw it out there wondering if we would get any sort of bite on anything on a Ristolainen trade. I have a pretty good sense of what you think of the player. What do you think the Sabres do in that regard with Rasmus Ristolainen here as the preseason starts to get into focus?
It's going to be hard to believe they don't make a trade of someone on their blue line. I mean, they're just too crowded, and all the free agents that are out there that could sign, and that's RFAs and a good chunk of UFAs. Like, there's movement coming, and for some reason, I think I know the reason. I was talking about this morning with Howard. I think what we have here is a minor labor war between GMs and players. These players know they no longer have to sign these sweetheart team deals like Nathan McKinnon and Taylor Hall did. These guys are making $6 million, $7 million. They're worth double that. Nathan McKinnon's on the most sweetheart deal ever.
Yeah.
So Mitch Marner sees that, you know, Matthews and Eichel and McDavid and, you know, even Sebastian Aho, he's now making more than Nathan McKinnon because he signed an offer sheet. So these players are well aware that they've got the opportunity to make more money, and the GMs are doing the best they can to suppress salaries. So once this logjam clears, this logjam that is a minor labor war, something's got to happen with the Sabres team, some sort of trade, whether it's Ristolainen, McCabe, some of their forwards. They just have too many players, and they've got to figure it out.
Jeremy, I know you're getting a lot of advice and from us here. My advice here would be, between now and December, go out to dinner every chance that you get. If you like taking your wife out, do it now, because your world, Jeremy, we're very happy for you, buddy.
That's Gene's advice. Yeah. My advice is to drink heavily, and I think you knew that already.
Well, mine's somewhere in between. I'm playing as much golf as humanly possible this summer.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the time as always, Jeremy. We'll look forward to hearing you again tomorrow morning with Howard on our sister station. Thanks for the time, bud.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Jeremy White. Always the best. Classy. Love having him on.
Take machine.
He's
great. I mean, he's great. I mean, it's just, yeah.
Who's in trouble? Who's in danger if the Bills season goes badly? No one is the answer. Love it. Yeah. It's a great take. And he's right.
It's true. That's why that ESPN article was nothing more than
clickbait. Yeah, how dare ESPN allow just a shadow of doubt to enter our minds? This is Sean McDermott's team. It's his franchise, Gene. He's running things the way he wants them to be run. He's safe as a kitten. They're not getting rid of that guy.
He knows how to play the game, too. Rex didn't care. Kim Pegula calling up Doug Whaley. No, Doug Whaley didn't care.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott knows how to play the game.
Yeah. Speaking of Sean McDermott, we have his press conference from earlier today. We know that you have a busy life, and in case you missed it, it's 7 minutes. We'll give you that just after 4 o'clock here in the sports bar. We're also going to be joined next hour by ESPN.com NFL Nation reporter for the Buffalo Bills, Marcel Louis-Jacques, fresh from his appearance with Murph and Tasker earlier on One Bills Live. Can't wait to get Marcel on for a visit, one of our regulars here, and we'll get his point of view from everything going on there at One Bills Drive with the Buffalo Bills in advance of Friday's Week 3 preseason matchup against the Lions. Next, how about some takes?
Takes. Each day we look at one game. Which game has had the biggest line shift since July? And no, we're not counting the Colts-Chargers one, because that's wonky not knowing the status of Andrew Luck. No, this is a line that has moved. And it has nothing to do with a quarterback. Nothing. So why has it moved? It's because the public is overreacting. I'm going to tell you an easy place to make money for week one.
All right. I've got a sports take and a non-sports take. Today, Jerry Jones. I'm almost ready to call him the real commissioner of the NFL again. I mean, he had a little rough period there.
Well, he is.
Well, no, he had a little rough period there. We got put in check. And it all revolves around Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, if anything, his ordeal humbled Jerry Jones a couple of seasons ago. And now Jerry Jones has to explain why he says what he says in the media? Oh, I've got some words for Ezekiel Elliott.
We have a major change in the Rochester media. Somebody's changing teams here, so I've got thoughts on that.
Okay, great. We'll get to that and more. I'll drink to that is next. Takes on Tap. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.